Parsha is L'ilui Nishmat Reb Yitzchak Yehuda ben Eliyahu HaLevi Zichrono Livracha. The Yahrzeit was understand. Bet Tammuz. Okay, let's start from let's take a look at the Pirkei Avot to remind ourselves. Ezra, the second page. I need the second page. Oh, there it is. No, that's not it.
Right, but you have access. You can do it.
I can do it. Terrific. 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 Everything is terrific.
You have access. You can do it.
Once I thought I would get better at this. Hey, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Masechet Avot, Pirkei, Mishnah Tet Zayin. I'm sorry, Yud Zayin. For some reason, Tet Zayin appeared. I guess as a hint to me of some sort. I have to think about it. Kol Machloket Shehi L'Shem Shamayim. Anytime there's a Machloket, you know that the thoughtful Jews who were trying to understand the world in which they lived, ask the question. I mean, in Hasidut, it's quite common. And I think even Mitnagdim asked the question. And that question was like, why do we need a world with Machloket? Why is it that the world is permeated by Machloket? And Machloket refers to practical things, political things, but also Torah. I mean, anybody who's ever tackled Gemara knows that it's just one machloket, difference of opinion after the other. And most of these differences of opinion don't seem to ever get settled. They never get settled, really, even though there's psak, but we go back to learning the Gemara over again, and we try to understand, and why did they have a machloket, and why was it there? So the thoughtful people, as I said, the thoughtful people, like, ask that question. Why is there machloket? And why is that so popular? And why does everybody look for a machloket that he or she can be part of? And here, along comes Pirkei Avot and makes a distinction that is important for us. He says, Kol machloket shidushem shamayim, even though I don't know what that is, anytime there's a machloket, which depends on heaven, it's for the sake of heaven. I'm having this machloket because I'm concerned about the world that I live in. The Mishnah says, so far it kayem. At the end of days, it'll be there. It'll exist. It won't disappear, so far it kayem. What does that mean? Why would I want the machloket lit kayem? Why would I want the machloket to continue to exist? V'she'eina l'shem shamayim, but a machloket that is not for the sake of heaven. I don't know what for the sake of heaven is, and I don't know what not for the sake of heaven means. She'eina l'shem shamayim, ain't so far lit kayem. Now the Mishnah itself, whoever put the Mishnah together, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the Mishnah itself says, I know that you don't understand. So I'm going to explain it to you in a kind of a way that will enable your understanding. Ezohi machloket shi l'shem shamayim. So give me an example of a machloket which is for the sake of heaven. Oh, zo machloket hillel v'shamay. Zo machloket hillel v'shamay. It's great. Everybody knows that Hillel and Shammai were halachic antagonists. They didn't agree. Halachic antagonists. V'she'eina l'shem shamayim, but the machloket that is not l'shem shamayim, zo machloket korach b'chol adato, that's the machloket that we learn about in the parsha this week, Machloket Korach v'kol adato. Korach, I mean, he was not a bad guy. He wanted to take over from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he wanted to take over from Aaron HaKohen. He wanted leadership. What's it got to do with Hillel and Shammai? I mean, Hillel and Shammai were honest people who tried to understand what God wanted of us. And that's what halacha is. Korach, he didn't want that. He didn't want to understand something. He didn't want to argue the idea. He wanted to win. That's what he wanted. So how exactly does the Mishnah compare Korach v'adato? I mean, both opposite, but there's a comparison, and to the case of Hillel and Shammai. It's two different kinds of machlokot that have nothing to do with each other. Nothing at all. But if we learn the material, we might see that I'm exaggerating. First, there's the Perush of Rav Ovadia Midbar Tanura. You know that the Bar Tanura wrote a Perush on the Mishnah. He wrote a Perush on the Mishnah because there really wasn't a Perush, a kind of Rashi-like Perush on the Mishnah. So he wrote it. And on this Mishnah, there isn't a comment by the Rambam or a comment by Rashi. So let's look at the Bar Tanura. Klomar, it says, what does that mean, Sofalet Kayem? Klomar, it'll continue to exist. Anshei HaMachloket Ahim Et Kayemim Ve'inam Ovdim Kol Machloket Yishem Shemayim Sofalet Kayem. He says, Sofalet Kayem, at the end, it will continue to exist. Does not refer to the Machloket, but it refers to the people who are involved in this Machloket. Klomar, Anshei HaMachloket Ahim Mitkaimim. The people continue to exist. Veinam ovdim, they don't disappear. They're not, you know, done away with. Kimachloket Hillel v'Shammai, for example, we remind you of Hillel and Shammai. Shelo avdu, they didn't disappear. They weren't lost. Lo talmidei Beit Shammai v'lo talmidei Beit Hillel. Neither of them died as a result of that machloket. Aval Korach v'adato avdu Korach. So the Bar Tanura, first pshat in the Bar Tanura, is something kind of simple and straightforward. Kol machloket l'shem shamayim, sofa litkayem. Who is sofa litkayem? The people in the machloket. If it's l'shem shamayim, it explains to us what l'shem shamayim means. So then the Bar Tanura adds, Ani shamati, I heard another interpretation. Perush sofa, sofa like having to do with the end of time or the end of things. Tachlita, sofa, tachlita, v'hamivukash me'inyana, what derives for us from the topic. V'hamachloket shehi l'shem shamayim is explaining. And I want you to know that the machloket is l'shem shamayim, the machloket that the Mishnah refers to, that is l'shem shamayim, right? Hatachlit v'hasof ha'mvukash me'ota machloket. The purpose, remember we said at the beginning, people wanted to know about what the purpose of machloket might be. So he says, hasof ha'mvukash me'ota machloket la'sig ha'emet. Vizemitkayem. That if you are looking for the truth, like Siga Emet, it'll continue to exist. Kimo she'amru mitoch ha'vikuach yitbarer ha'emet. As we have said in elsewhere, that it's the argument which will bring us to the truth. Kimo she'nitbarer b'machloket Hillel v'Shammai. And that's the machloket of Hillel and Shammai she'al halacha k'beit Hillel. Now, even though we know the halacha k'beit Hillel, Beit Shammai continues to exist because halacha k'beit Hillel, according to the Bartanura, I would say, is an interim position. It's an interim position, and that's why every Hanukkah comes, we look at the Gemara, and we see the argument between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and we say Beit Hillel, he set up the candles on Hanukkah 1, 2, 3, 4, till 8. And Beit Shammai set up the candles 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we learn that Gemara over again, even though we know that we passen like Beit Hillel. We know that we put in the first candle on the first night and the two candles on the second night, etc. But we go back to the machloket in order to see if there's some new insight that we can derive, because we know that the truth is somehow connected to both of them. And even though we paskin, even though we've determined the halakha, I have to understand halakha is an interim position. We have to say something. We have to follow some kind of rule. But I don't think that Shammai followed Hillel's rule. I think Shammai followed his own rule. V'zeh ha'sof eino mitkayem kimo she'nimtza b'machloket Korach v'adato. But when it comes to a machloket of Korach v'adato, she'tachlit v'sof kavanatam haita bakashat hakavod, after all, Korach v'Adato, they weren't looking for truth, according to the Bartanura. They weren't looking for the truth. They were looking for kavod. They were looking for honor. They were looking for position, right? And they weren't looking for the truth. So of course we can understand that if the judgment that you make, if the judgment that you make has to do with kavod, with getting honor for yourself, you know that it's not truth that you seek. And so according to the Bartanura, the second interpretation of the Bartanura, kol machloket shehi l'shem shamayim, meaning if you are looking for the truth, and you can't somehow resolve the two opinions, right? So falit kayem. I mean, that's what we live. We live in this kind of idea that it'll work out at the end. We'll understand what we're doing here. We'll know what it is we're supposed to do on Shabbos and on Yontif and etc. We'll know. Even when today we know that we don't know. And again, a psak, a determination of halakha, doesn't mean that we know. It means that we have agreed to accept one position over the other. But we still remain hopeful. And in the course of study that we take upon ourselves, it's the Gemara that remains the bulwark of Torah. Right, even though the Gemara brings you back to the machloket, but this machloket is a wondrous thing, because we're not waiting to find out who is wrong. Right, sofa let kayem. The machloket is something that we keep alive, because we're looking forward to the resolution in truth. We're looking forward to the resolution of truth. So now, having learned this Mishnah, and knowing something about Korach, let's see if it fits in to what the Psukim teach us about Korach. So here is Korach. Bamidbar Perek Tet Zayin, Vayikach Korach. Okay, you remember that Rashi makes an issue out of Vayikach. He took himself aside. It's about him. It's all about him. Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kad, Ben Levi. This is him. Also Kavod, his lineage. He was a Ben Levi. And then he took also Datan Vaviram, who are noted criminals, criminal types. B'nei Eliyav, Hon Ben Pelet, B'nei Ruvain. So that's the first pasuk. The first pasuk already tells us who Korach was and what he was looking for. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe. They stood up. They stood up ready to attack. Anashim ibnei Yisrael chamishim matayim. And there were 250. 250 is a lot of people. And if you don't have a microphone and you don't have any way to communicate to large groups, so this is a big deal, 250 people, the Siyei Dekri, Moed, Anshei Shem, they were all big shots in their world, in the world in which they lived. Vayikalu al Moshe va'al haron, and that's the passage that tells us what they really were interested in. That's how Rashi explained it as well. Vayikalu, they got together against Moshe and Aaron. I mean, what difference does it make what their argument was, even though Rashi will tell us? But it doesn't matter. It was a machloket of a personal nature. It was about kavod. It was not about truth. It wasn't about the truth. It was about nothing at all. Vayomru aleihem. So they didn't come to say, we want to be the Kohen Gadol. We want to be the leader of the tribe. They didn't say that. But they said, they said to Moshe and Aaron, I mean, we could just read the words and it comes out exactly as we thought. Rav Lachem, you've taken too much. You've given out too much to the family. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was also the family of Levi. Ki kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim uvetocham Hashem. Now, what does that mean? Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. He says, well, what does kedoshim mean? Kedoshim means exposed to God. Everybody was exposed to God at Matan Torah. The Torah was given, so everybody became special. Maybe not as special as Moshe Rabbeinu, but we all agreed that Moshe Rabbeinu would end his reign, his regime, before they got to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Kinaan. He called Aida Kulam Kedoshim. Kol Aida Kulam Kedoshim. We would like to pick our slate to run the show. Uvetocham Hashem and Betocham Hashem is a very interesting kind of a phrase. God is within them, which is a pshat in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar. It's an explanation of the beginning of the book of Bamidbar. The beginning of the book of the Bamidbar is about how the Jews camped around the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, which was the Mishkan at that time. The Mishkan, right? The tabernacle. So, Ki kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim means we were all at Har Sinai. And therefore, we kind of have the prerequisite requirement for kind of being with God, leading the people. Ki kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim. Uvetocham Hashem. And you know that in order to take away that kedusha, that godliness from Har Sinai, and to have it work in the desert, we had to have a bitocham. It's only because we camped around the tabernacle that we could say that God is in our midst. It's ours. You couldn't do it yourself, Moshe Rabbeinu. Not even Moshe and Aaron could have done it by themselves. So Madua titnasu al kahal Hashem. So why are you so proud? Why do you think you're so important? We are the ones who are certainly going to continue the leadership, God's leadership. We're going to continue that. Vayishma Moshe, vayipol al panav. You know, there are several occasions when Moshe Rabbeinu expresses the fact that he's unable to act as a leader. He's unable to do what has to be done. Unable to do what has to be done. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, God told him to speak to the rock. So the Sefer Yikarim is a commentary. Now, what's so terrible? You know, that there was a question, what's so terrible about hitting the rock? I mean, you could hit a rock all day long. You're not going to get water to come out of it. So when the water came out of it, he knew it was a miracle. So why was God angry? Why was God angry with Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer, according to the Sefer Yikarim, well, the answer is not so, it's not only the important, the answer that is important. What's important is the idea behind the answer. So the Sefer Yikarim says, you remember Yoshua ben Nun, Yeshua was fighting against one of the cities in Canaan, the Ai, fighting against them. And the day was waning. And Yeshua ben Nun knew that if the sun set, they would all have to regroup. And the chances of winning the battle seemed to be limited. So what did Yeshua do? He said, Shemesh begivon don. The sun in Givon should stop setting, the Yareach be'Eidek Ayalon, and the moon should not come up. So the point that the Sefer Yikarim says, the point is that Yoshua didn't have permission from God to say, let the sun stand still. But Yoshua said, this is what I need in order to win. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to win. And therefore, furthermore, I know that it'll happen. So the Sefer Yikarim said that Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes became so disappointed with Bnei Yisrael or the people, the individuals, that he was not able to act as a leader. Here's a pasuk, Vayishma Moshe. We could just like push in the supra segmental elements. So you got Moshe, totally disappointed, unhappy that the people that he had taught, the people that he had nurtured, the people who he gave the Torah to, they didn't get it. All these people standing in front of him and thought that it was Moshe Rabbeinu's choice. It certainly wasn't. Vayipol al panav. So I would say, let's look at a little bit of the Rashi. Vayipol al panav, Rashi says, Vayipol al panav b'vnei ha-machloket. We know something about machloket. Machloket is something that you can't resolve. It was Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he couldn't say anything. He couldn't say anything that would be the winning hand. Shekvar zeh biyadan sirachon rivi'i, Rashi goes on to say this is the fourth time that the people had sinned against Moshe Rabbeinu. I sinned against God, but Moshe Rabbeinu took the brunt of it. Chetu ve'egel. There's the golden calf. Vayichal Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu requested, begged God to appease the people, the Midonin, that when they complained, Vayitpalel Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven for them. Vameraglim, and the spies, the story of the spies, Vayomer Moshe Hashem, Vishamu Mitzrayim, etc. So there were other times. Vemachloket, Vemachlokto Shel Korach, Nidrashlu Yadav. So this time he really had nothing to Nidrashlu. They were, his hands were weak. Our hands are things you do something with. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do anything. It was just too much. Too much for him because it was a machloket. Machloket, it looked like the kind of machloket of Hillel and Shammai. That's what it looked like. But it wasn't that kind of machloket at all. It was something made up, something that was not reasonable. And so you see the Rashi, the previous Rashi. Rashi explains the story, but adds on, according to Chazal, Bo v'amdu, you see, just to say, let me... Bo v'amdu lifnei Moshe, amru lo talit shekula shel tchelet chayevet b'tzitzit o p'tura. So you know that a talis, the kind of talis that men usually wear, although women could also wear a talis, I think. I'm not suggesting it, but I'm just saying that talis shekula tcheles. Bo'avam duf ne Moshe amrulo. Talis shekula tcheles. You know that one string of the four, the four corners, there are strings that hang down from the talis. And one of the strings is colored tchelet, dyed, the color of purple, royal purple. It's called tchelet. So they said to him, if the whole talis is is tchelet. The whole talis is tchelet. Chayevet b'tzitzit o p'tura. So of course, I don't think in the desert they had tzitzis or they had tchelet. They didn't have the dye. And so the question was not relevant to anything. But it was the kind of question, if you didn't know what you were talking about, you could say either, you could say yes, you could say no. And so the story goes, Amalehem Chayevet. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to them. What difference does it make if the whole thing is colored purple? You still have to put on tzitzis. Itchilu. So they, just a second, I think. Okay, so the people would, they said, they argued with Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, hey, Efshat talit shel min echad chut echad shel tcheles potura. He says, if you have a regular talis, and you have one thread, one of the threads which is tchelet, that's enough. Zeh shechula tcheles lo tiftor et atzma. Isn't it possible that the talis shekula tcheles. It was according to Chazal, Korach v'adato not only said that they are worthy because they had the Kedusha of Har Sinai and they were part of the people that surrounded the Mishkan. Not only that, but they said, and when it comes to Torah, We're not any worse than Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's ask him a question. And the question they asked him was about a talis shekulot tchelis. If you have a talis that is colored entirely with purple, do you need a string of purple in the talis? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, of course you do. Made all the sense in the world. But the people said, maybe not. Maybe not. How does Moshe Rabbeinu know that? How does Moshe Rabbeinu know that? Then they said, "Kikol Aida Kulam Kedoshim." Rashi explains, "Kulam Kedoshim." You see, it's like five lines from the bottom. Kulam Shamru Dvarim B'Sinai. Everybody heard God speaking at Sinai. Mipi Agbura. That's God. Umadu Atit Nasu. Why be so proud of yourselves? Em Lakachat Ata Malchut Lo Hayalecha Levarer Bachicha. They say to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you take kingship, you shouldn't give the priesthood to your brother. Lo atem levatchem shamatem b'Sinai anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's not true that you're the only ones who heard God speak at Sinai. Kol ha'idashamu, the entire population heard. So we see that Korach was about kavod and was about misleading and maligning Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it was about. Now there's to conclude our investigation, I would like to, just one second. I'd like to mention a Gemara. I'd like to mention a Gemara in Machot. Dav Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Omar Rav Elazar, Omar Rabbi Chanina. Okay, you see it? Did it show up? I hope it showed up. Omar Rav Elazar, Omar Rabbi Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Be'olam. So he said that we all know this quote because we say it all the time. Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. They increase shalom. Shalom is a tough word. Shene'emar. And there's a reference to a pasuk called Banayich Limudei Hashem. Rav Shalom Banayich. There'll be a lot of shalom that comes out of your children. Al tikrei banayich l'drasha says, don't read it as it's usually vocalized. Ela bonayich, those who build you up, right? Those are the talmidei chachamim. Shalom, Rav, lo vei toratecho, vein lamo michshol. A lot of shalom to those who love the Torah, vein lahem michshol. They don't trip up on anything. Yi shalom b'cheilech, there should be peace in your energy, the things you do. Shalva b'arbanotayech, peace and quiet in your castles. Leman achay b'reyad abrada shalom bach. A list of psukim which emphasize shalom. Leman beit Hashem elokeinu avak shatov lach. Hashem ozla moyitein Hashem yivarechet amal b'shalom. Everything is shalom. Shalom is the pinnacle, the ultimate, the best that they could be. And so it says, Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. And this Gemara, Rav Kook has stated a wonderful thing. Right? In the Ein Hayah, in the Ein Hayah, which is his commentary on the Agadot of Shas, Rav Kook says the following. Yesh to'im. There are those who make a mistake. There are those who make a mistake. Shechoshvim, Shashalom ha'olami, world peace. World peace. You know, peace in our time. Shalosh shalom olami lo yibane ki im al yedei tzibyon echad b'deot v'tzuchunot. That peace means that everybody thinks the same thing. Everybody is on the same page, as they say. That's peace. Im kein, kishiro im talmidech talmid chacham hokrim b'chokma. When you see a Talmid Chacham, a scholar, you kind of investigate him with Chochmah. V'al-yidei mechkar mitrabim hatzadadim v'ashitot. And when you look into it very carefully, you find out that whatever you talk to him about, right, there are different opinions, different sides, different ideas. Everything, I mean, nothing is settled. It was more settled before you started talking to him than it is now. So people say, well, why should I talk to the great Torah scholars? All I do is increase difference of opinion. New opinions, odd opinions, you know. If you knew something, if you could check the tshuva literature, you would see that great scholars, great Torah scholars, keep on indicating that they disagree with each other. Ubemet eino kein, he says. It's not true. Eino kein. Ki hashalom ha'amiti. He says, after all, the truth of the notion of shalom. And shalom, you know, is the name of God. Yevshar sheyavol le'olam kim davka al yedei toar shel ribui hashalom. The only way that peace, shalom, can come into the world is if you're able to conquer the multiplicities of shalom. Haribui shel hashalom, this multiplicity of peace, right, which is what we see all the time. Ushe yitra'u kol hatzdadim. They, all the different sides, should be able to get together with all of the opportunities, the positions, the ideas that chokhmah, that wisdom, give us. V'itbareru et chulam yesh lehem makom. And you have to understand that each of them has a place. Yesh lehem makom. Kol davar lefi erko mikomo v'inyano. V'adarabo. All those things that seem to us perhaps to be unnecessary, extraneous, right, against the halacha, or deniers, when the true wisdom becomes part of what we understand, all the different aspects of that wisdom, yiru, shirak al yedei kibbutz kol hachalakim v'kol hapratim. It's only when we are able to absorb all of the differences of opinions and all the details, v'kol hadeot, hanirot shonot, and all the differing positions, v'kol hamiktzoot, we call a mikzoot a halukot davka al yadam. It's not because everything is the same, but it's because things are different from each other. Davka al yadam yireh or ha'emet v'atzedek. That's where you get it. That's where you get the emet and the tzedek. And that was of course Hillel v'Shammai. Hillel v'Shammai, so he has put together for us, Rav Kook, that is to say, has put together for us the idea that the idea here, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, right, that's That's one idea. And the second idea Komachloket Shilashem Shamayim. So we have a definition for Lashem Shamayim. Shem Shamayim equals Shalom. Shalom equals the divine. That's God's name. So Kol Machloket Shehi L'Shem Shamayim, it was that, oh, you want to find the truth, but you want to find the Shalom. You want to find the place of God in the world of creation, the world that God created. So you could find it. You could find it if you accept the fact that the truth is in the varying positions, in the varying ideas that come out of the discussion, in the once you understand all of the different positions that might be included, then you are moving in the direction, you're moving in the direction of Sofa L'Tkayem. And that Sofa is what we call it, the Gemara calls Shalom. Shalom. And so we have to understand that the Machloket was put into the world because it's just not clear that we could understand the truth as truth. But we have to kind of get into it little by little, generation by generation, and that's called Machloket L'Shem Shamayim. But Korach was interested in personal aggrandizement. Korach was interested in taking over, in doing what Moshe Rabbeinu had done. And therefore, the machloket of Korach v'adato is meaningless in the long run. It has no reality at all. It's gone. It's gone. Korach v'adato against Hillel and Shammai. All the best. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Be well.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, too.